What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 103 of Smack Talk, coming to you from SmackOutMoment.com. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango. With me on the mic this evening, we have, from Keeping Kayfabe, Mike Payton.
What on the mic? Say what on the mic.
That was awful. And from Nerd Genius, Michael Burhan.
I played with the Xbox One today.
That was even worse than what on the mic. Before we get started, you may have noticed that we already took care of the review for TNA's Bound for Glory earlier on in the week.
Thank you.
That was the first ever Dark Match edition of Smack Talk, so go back and check that out if you haven't already. But
unless you're Payton.
On the schedule for tonight, we have a different pay-per-view to talk about as we give our thoughts on the upcoming Hell in a Cell event. But first things first, it's time for the Ask Him trivia question of the week. So let's backtrack a little bit. Who got last week's question right?
Okay, even though a lot of people found my question confusing, there was a lot of very positive response. And I'm happy about that, guys, because I love it when you're positive. But there's a few of you who are going to get my scorn because you're crap. Now, DW Diva got it right. Natural Dustin Rhodes. Thomas Sander was the Natural Dustin Rhodes. Sort of mix of a cowboy and his father. Of course he was. And I, Curry, says, I have no idea, so I'll just say Drew McIntyre. Shame on you, Curry. But I love Drew too, and that's actually true. That's the only time he's going to be mentioned on the show. Jamie O'Halloran said, Dustin Rhodes, a Western boy. And then O'Halloran said, don't subscribe to Burhan. Fuck you, O'Halloran. And that's pretty much it. And we'll move on now to the Ask Him of this week, of course. As you guys know, I kind of try and link it into Keeping Kayfabe. So if you've watched Keeping Kayfabe or you haven't watched it to try and get the answer from this, watch it. Well, not now, of course, because we've got the show going on after you've actually listened to this. So as you know, the first questions are basically to stump the host. And the second question that's led on from that is to stump yourselves. Now, because it's Keeping Kayfabe, Payton's kind of been disqualified from this today. So
okay.
I'm going to...
I didn't pay attention yesterday.
Okay. So I'm going to throw it to Tony. It's a TNA question. There was a match on Keeping Kayfabe, which basically had AJ Styles competing against Kid Cash in a tables match. Now, I want to know from you, Tony, what other organizations has Kid Cash taken part in? And there are three, believe it or not.
Let's see, WCW, ECW, and ROH?
Not the ROH one, try again.
It's
another major.
Another major one? He wasn't in WWE, was he?
Yes, he was.
He's in a video game.
Really?
Yeah, and he was part of the Pitbulls with Jamie Noble there. And he was a former Cruiserweight champion, believe it or not.
Huh, alright, goes to show how much of a shit I give about King Cash.
I'm pretty sure that was during, like, 2005 when nobody was watching.
Oh, yeah, that would have been, like, dead center for when I wasn't watching it.
Well, my opinion, guys, he was actually awesome there, but, you know.
He was cash.
Exactly. He was money in the bank.
The Kid Cash, isn't he, like, 50 or something?
I believe he is. He looks really like 50. Now, moving on from that, guys. As you know, Kid Cash performed in ECW. So I want to know, who did he have one of the final ECW television title matches against? And who was the person that defeated him for the title? And I'll give you I'll say it again. Who was the person that defeated Kid Cash in one of the final ECW television title matches? There you go. And if you can, for a bonus point, what was the other title that this person held before the company went bankrupt? There you go.
I don't know, but maybe you guys do. So tell us what you think that the answer is, and we will tell you next week who got it right and who got it wrong. Things are heating up as we start running down the weekly current events of wrestling news in our next segment, the Hot Tags. And there's only a couple things that have gone on this week. Not too much huge going on. First things first, WWE has a morality clause in their contract now where if you have, like, nude pictures on the internet or anything before you sign the contract, if they find out about that, they can release you. That's kind of odd. You would think that they would be kind of okay with like the stuff to happen before that, but you can't do it now, or I don't know.
Well, here's the
But
thing. This isn't new. I don't know why this is just starting to pop up on news sites now. If we remember that that Amazon chick from that Diva season of NXT, who got taken off after the first week because they uncovered all those pictures of her from her previous WWE days.
I thought that she was mostly knocked out because she really sucked in the ring, and they thought that she had really.
Maybe a little column A, a little column B. Maybe that was just an extra reason to get rid of her.
Maybe. It was a little convenient, though, that Caitlyn was just kind of thrown into there, and then she ends up winning the season.
And didn't they mention her pictures that she did before coming to WWE very recently during her feud with AJ? Caitlyn, I mean.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, she said something about doing the pictures.
And here's the biggest question. How are they going to be promoting Shawn Michaels at this time if this is the case?
Or if any of the other divas come back.
Yeah, I think this is all scoops nonsense.
What do you think, Brian?
The thing about this is there's like any WWE rule, you've got to justify it. And I don't think they can because for every Amazon freak show who does lesbianism, you have Caitlyn. For every other diva out there that's done naked pictures, there's a Mickie James who's basically showed her ass and her minge to public. You can't. If they have got this into place, it must be fairly new. In terms of what they're doing with it, it seems like they'll just justify what means offense, what deems offensive.
Maybe this is more so just kind of like a scapegoat kind of thing. Like they're throwing this out there now because if anything ever happens where they kind of want to release them, but they don't have a reason to, they can just fall back on it. Like with Jim Ross now, and supposedly the reason that they quote unquote forced him to retire was because of that whole symposium. Maybe this is kind of their way out. If they don't like somebody, but they can't just go, look, we don't want to fire, we don't want you in the company anymore, and we want to fire you because we don't like you, or I don't know, you didn't lose enough weight for us, or something like that. Then they could just go, well, you know those pictures before? They're too racy for our PG product and all that.
How do
Maybe.
you really define what's racy anyway? You're talking about a place where men wear underwear and women wear bikinis constantly.
And did they have like lingerie pillow fights every 5 seconds in that place?
Backstage.
It seems whatever floats Vince's boat, basically. Yeah, they'll probably end up getting rid of it eventually. It's just one of those things where they'll end up saying one thing and then just do another.
Yeah, I'm sure if somebody gets interested in WWE and they're interested in that person and they're considered a good enough asset, they're not going to give a shit whatsoever. You mean to tell me that if somebody comes out there and they're like the next John Cena, and it turns out that they did an issue with Playgirl or whatever, that they're gonna really give a shit? No. But we'll see.
Pretty sure there's some interesting pictures out there of Randy Orton as well.
Really?
Very interesting pictures.
Hmm.
You said
Well.
that a little too convincingly.
WWE Network might be coming the day after Elimination Chamber. They might try to gear that up towards WrestleMania, which makes sense, although we've heard about six different times that it was going to start, so I wouldn't put any bets on actually getting the WWE Network on that day unless they flat out announce like the terms and you can buy it already and all those other kind of things. If they just do another cinema, we're gonna come to the network eventually in a couple years, kind of thing, then don't think too much about it.
Well, the one thing I have to admit that came to mind that Miguel was talking about, which I kind of have to agree with here, there was G4 TV is no longer available, and they're basically looking to sell that on. So I could see the WWE making a play for that again.
That would be a good idea, I think. You might as well. What do you think,
Dream
Caden?
made.
I think they're honestly going about this the completely wrong way. If they're still trying to get themselves on cable, they tried. If it didn't catch on the first time, I think what they should really do is commit themselves more to a digital medium. Make something bigger of that WWE app. Make a plus version of it where you're getting all the 24/7 content. And also when you're paying for that, you also have access to it through a web browser. Maybe even look to make apps for PlayStation and Xbox and Nintendo. I know they've already reached out to make a relationship with those. They're broadcasting pay-per-views on those mediums, so I think that would be the optimal way to go. That way they're fully in control. They don't have many people they have to answer to as far as what content they can have there and keeping contracts in line. It's also forward thinking. You know, cable television is going to be dying sometime in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Good point. I don't know. Maybe they will start doing that. I mean, they are pushing the YouTube page and the app and everything, although they've given up on Tout, but that's because Tout sucks and nobody gives
a shit. Yeah, Tout was a terrible idea. I think the app is still a very good idea, and I don't blame them for wanting to push it as much as they do, but honestly, it's a very lackluster app. There's not a lot in there. You have, like, wrestler bios, you can look at some pictures, you can get some, like, polls you can vote on during Raw and some backstage pictures. That's about it. I think they haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what they could really do with that app if they wanted to.
Two other things that might be coming in 2014, whether or not we do get the WWE Network, there have been rumors that they were going to get rid of Battleground and or Hell in a Cell and cut the pay-per-views. But now the rumor going around is that they will get rid of both of those pay-per-views, but instead add Bash at the Beach in June, which will be two pay-per-views in June, and then that they might do War Games again. Now, between all these rumors that are floating around with this, I would say there is a good chance that we could see Bash at the Beach, but I don't think we're going to see War Games. We've heard that rumor for quite a while now, and it seems like War Games is mainly something that the fans want to see. So whenever that rumor goes around, everybody's like, oh my god, War Games, yeah. And anytime that somebody mentions bringing another pay-per-view back, War Games is almost always the first one that people mention. It's either that or King of the Ring, usually. And that kind of just seems like a little bit of fan service. I don't know. But if we do, cool. As long as they keep it away from the Survivor Series, because it's stupid as hell to have them back-to-back like they used to do with...
Or it should be at the Survivor Series.
Either or, yeah. Bring back the War Games match, but not the pay-per-view. Or bring War Games, the pay-per-view, maybe, I don't know, what do we got, like 2 months after Extreme Rules or something?
Mm-hmm.
Something where it's like the middle of the summer or... You know what? You can't mix around with Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and then WrestleMania. So, you know, maybe move like Night of Champions and put it in Night of Champions spot or something. Who knows? But Bash at the Beach, I think it's cool. And if we get that, awesome. Although I still think that should be more of a special episode of Raw or something instead, and they should cut one of the pay-per-views, because two pay-per-views in a month is dumb. But what do you think, Burhan?
I don't really mind. I like the old WCW pay-per-views. I really would love to see him revive War Games. One of my absolute favorites. Or even Halloween Havoc. Bash at the Beach, I could see it going the same way as American Bash.
I guess it would probably be the same thing, but that'd be cool if they kind of kept that same idea where they had like that beach set and the pool and all that. I used to like that. What do you think, Peyton?
I don't think there's a very good chance of either of these happening. If they did bring back War Games, as I said before, I think the best place they could do it is at Survivor Series. I mean, it almost goes together with names, Survivor Series, War Games. It sounds like a place where you have to survive at all costs. But as far as Bash at the Beach, I guess they could do it. I think the more likely thing we're going to see revived is just the Bash. Yeah, you know, that pay-per-view that was their watered-down version of the Great American Bash. Some type of just summer party-type excuse that isn't SummerSlam, more of like the barbecue-type sense. If they did, I hope they do go silly and go all out like that. Like, you know, have surfboards at the entrance ramp and dress the commentators in Hawaiian shirts and sandals.
Give Kofi Kingston a reason to win, like, every match.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who, like, came from the beach kind of an area.
Kofi Kingston should come down on a surfboard with a bunch of no-names carrying him on the surfboard.
I think that that wraps up everything for the hot tags. A pretty slow week. Pretty much the only stuff that was going on was Bound for Glory and Hell in a Cell and whatever, and that's about it. So
let's take a little rest hold and scramble some segments around. Remember, if you're watching this on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, you can also subscribe to Smack Talk on iTunes and on Stitcher. Or if you're on one of the other ones, then you can check the other two. I'll be trying to incorporate some special things for each one down the line, so don't miss out. Subscribe on all three. You never know what's going to be coming. If you're interested in reading what I've written this week for Bleacher Report, there's one article up on that site entitled WWE Hell in a Cell 2013 Smart Projections for the Top Feuds. So go ahead and click on the links that you can find on Facebook, Twitter, the YouTube description below, or on SmarkOut Moment and Bleacher Report themselves. The YouTube comment of the week goes to iCurryEye for his comment, "I have no idea what Burhand asked, so I'll just say Drew McIntyre because it's the only chance to get mentioned." Look at that. He got mentioned a couple times. If you've got something to say, leave a comment and we'll smark your words. Remember to send in those questions for us to answer when the next edition of the monthly mailbag comes along, which will be actually incorporated into the next live edition of Smack Talk coming your way November 15th at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be doing the hot tags and the Ask Him, as well as answering all these questions that you send to us in advance and taking your calls live on the air so you can ask us questions then, too, or just chit-chat and talk some wrestling with us. Last but certainly not least, if you're interested in writing for Smark Out Moment, send me an email and we'll get to talking about all the little details and what the assignments are available, so on and so forth. Break time is over with, so let's get back to work and start talking about some 2013 Hell in a Cell pay-per-view predictions.
Starting off with the pre-show kickoff match, we have the Intercontinental Championship, Big E Langston, and Curtis Axel. I would say, overall here, Big E Langston is going to win the title. It may not happen right now, but why not just go ahead and do it? Big E Langston seems like he's going to get a little bit of a push out of this, maybe because of that whole, the rumor that John Cena is a big supporter of him, and now that he's back, he'll get a big push or whatever. Maybe it's just because they finally come around a time where they can turn him babyface, which thankfully they did, because he's so much better suited as a babyface, I think. But even though I'm not too fond of people winning titles when they haven't been in the company too long, Big E's been there for a year now, just about, and I think he's at a good enough spot that he can win the IC title. He's not the biggest guy out there. He's not, like, giving it to... you know what? I can't really even think of somebody who could fit in that spot instead of him right now. But yeah, I'd be fine with him winning the Intercontinental title. I'd actually rather him be the champion than Curtis Axel, who I feel has done jack shit with it. So get it off of him right now, give it to Big E Langston, see what he can do with it, and keep that babyface turn going along. I think it should be a pretty decent match, but we'll see. What do you think, Brian?
I could see Langston winning the title because it seems like a good idea. He's like probably got more babyface heat on him than R-Truth. The thing is, it's very hard to fight to keep Axel with that belt. Very hard. I couldn't really see him holding that title at all past this pay-per-view. But, you know, maybe prove wrong. But I'm going with Langston.
Peyton?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Axel's time is up. I've been a huge supporter of the guy, but they dropped the ball at him. This title run has been absolutely lackluster. I was hoping he was going to be one of those guys, especially being a multi-generational star, that was going to really have a fun run with it, but he ended up just having a couple months with it that were okay, and not even that. It's been bland as hell. So if they got big plans for Big E Langston, which it looks like they did, I mean, they kept him off screen for a little bit, and now he's doing this new babyface thing, and I think people are going to like him. I hope he pulls out the whole five count thing as everyone else does. It's a really fun gimmick he's been doing down in NXT, and it's something that's going to... If you're a really old school fan, you'll know about it from the days of King Kong Bundy. But to see it brought back to something today, I mean, classics will always work in any age. So I think it's almost a guarantee to see Big E Langston walk out as the new champion.
If he doesn't win it here, he wins it on Raw, I think. They might not want to have too many title changes or something like that. So I could see them doing some kind of like a cheap-ass finish where Curtis Axel gets himself disqualified, and then they have a rematch on Raw, and he just beats the living shit out of him, you know? But overall, I would think that they would just go ahead and fucking do it, you know?
No, I would see he would just win it, and then we would get the rematch the following night on Raw, and I think the story that would more likely play out is Heyman is telling Axel, listen, you better get this title back, or else this is done between us. Yeah. So then Axel goes in, and then maybe he gets it back, or maybe he does it, and that's the end of him being a part of the Heyman family, and then his focus goes directly to Ryback.
Yeah, I do think that on top of this, we're not going to see Axel with Heyman that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it's kind of a shame, because Axel really needs Heyman. But if they're not going to give Axel that much of a push anyway, it doesn't matter if Heyman's talking for him. It still doesn't matter. The past couple of months kind of showcased that. He's tried to help him as much as he could, but Curtis Axel still had no solid feuds with anybody. He was just kind of in the background for everything. And when the CM Punk feud has been on stall as long as it is, and they still can't find anything for Curtis Axel to do for the most part, it's kind of a shame because he just had, like, at Night of Champions, probably his best night ever in the entire company. And it meant nothing by the next episode of Raw. Poor guy. See you in a tag team soon, I think. With I don't know who, but maybe there's somebody that'll tag with him.
David Otunga.
Where the hell's David Otunga been, anyway?
I don't know. He made a movie. He only was there for one night to promote it, and he hasn't been seen since again.
That's really weird.
It is weird. I don't believe he's been on NXT at all. He's just been kind of like a ghost. I think he's just doing like Be a Star rallies.
He's like still trying to promote the movie somewhere. It's just like it's opening up in different countries, so he's going to like these small avenues and everything.
I was in a movie with Halle Berry. I'm married to Jennifer Hudson. You want to touch me?
Any last thoughts before we move on to the next one?
Yay for Big E.
We have CM Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman in a handicap match that's also in the Hell in a Cell. So this is not only a rematch when it comes to Heyman and tag team partner in a handicap match against CM Punk, which we've already seen before, but it's also a retelling of CM Punk versus Ryback and in the Hell in a Cell. So 1 year later, we've got a sort of double rematch in a sense, which is a shame. And it means nowhere near as much as last year when CM Punk and Ryback fought each other. People really were excited about that because Ryback was like a hot commodity at the time. It doesn't mean anything right now because this feud has dragged on for maybe 2 solid months longer than it should have. And it's a shame. Hopefully this is the end of it. But I've said that before, and they just keep doing it. So by that rationality, maybe we'll be done with it by, like, I don't know, SummerSlam 2016 or something. But Punk has to win here. He has to beat the shit out of Heyman. Heyman needs to take time off, not come back until Brock Lesnar's ready, and they can start building towards that match with The Undertaker or whomever else he ends up facing, either Ryback or whatever. Or at the very least, he needs to stick with Ryback, and they need to move on to somebody else. They can't just keep this thing going on with CM Punk. Peyton?
I think they missed a big opportunity to where they could have had Ryback come down with an injury, and to have the match continue, he could have had his spot filled with the newest Paul Heyman guy, the returning John Cena.
You would turn him heel?
Champ is here.
I've been thinking for the longest time that they should just make RVD a heel. Just put him with Paul Heyman. RVD and Punk could probably do something decent together.
RV who?
You know that guy who was in the WWE for a little bit?
You know that guy who sucks? Who got what? Was it like a 49 or whatever on the superstar scores? A lower score than Bob Holly, whatever it was. He'd probably get a lower score than Paul Heyman at this point.
But this match, I'm pretty over the whole CM Punk Heyman thing too. I have been the whole time. CM Punk has been cold as ice ever since his return after WrestleMania. Paul Heyman has had questionable decisions in clientele as of lately.
And promos. That weird ass
You
promo
know,
because
I thought that promo this Monday night was awesome.
it was
The whole
awesome, but
thing
it
with
was
the volcanoes and
weird.
all that, I thought that was excellent.
It was like an Ultimate Warrior promo.
It was like Bob Backlund's promo a couple weeks ago on Raw.
Maybe
But
that was the rest of Bob Backlund's promo that they had cut off.
I really hope that Ryback gets his win back here. And in a perfect world, maybe he'll take out Punk for a while.
So you wouldn't have Punk get vengeance on Heyman?
No. Ever.
Never. He comes back and he's like, ah,
Yeah, he just moves on. He goes on to the WWE title, whatever he wants to do when he comes back.
What say you, Burhan?
I could really give a shit about this match, to say the truth, and I hate to say that about a Punk match. It's the Paul Heyman storyline has dragged on too much, and has gone too far. The only way they can actually, and I'll say this again, as I said it last time there was a pay-per-view on, which is the only way they would redeem this is if they had Paul Heyman join the Alliance, basically the McMahon Helmsley establishment thing they've got going on. Because it makes more sense to have Punk involved in that than to keep him on the sidelines dealing with Heyman, saying that he's going to beat him up every 5 minutes. It's just not working. And I really would like to either see something happen that has meaning in this thing, or just be rid of it altogether.
Time to talk Divas Championship, AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. There were some talks that we might see AJ Lee and Tamina against the Bella Twins, but they decided to do that elsewhere. So we're getting the title match, which means there's actually a good chance that Brie Bella walks out with the title here. I hope it doesn't happen because I want AJ to keep the title for, I guess, the foreseeable future until maybe somebody gets called up from NXT or something. I'd be fine with her keeping it for damn near a year. But if they are going to give it to somebody else, it seems like Brie Bella is probably the best position to do it, since the Total Divas show kind of is revolving around her a little bit, and the whole thing with Daniel Bryan and all that. So, I think we're going to see a title change here. Maybe like a 60-40 guess. Maybe even not so much as 75%. I'm going to go with Brie Bella, and I think that the match should be pretty good for a Divas match. It's not going to be anything, that where you're going to remember in a year, but it shouldn't be a train wreck or anything. Burhan?
I don't mind this too much. It's one of those things where if she wins the title, good for her. If she doesn't, then I hope AJ has the title for the foreseeable future. I'm not one of these guys who really want. I don't. It's not like I don't care. Well, actually, no, I don't care about the title. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to see AJ with that championship for as long as possible, and they've partnered her up with Tamina for a reason, so I doubt that we're going to see a title change at this point in time.
Paid.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Brie Bella continue a very strong fight for it. And I think she's not going to lose this match in any way. It's going to make her seem weak. I think AJ is either going to have Tamina come to her rescue or pull the tights or use the ropes or find some way to win this match in a true hijinks fashion. So, Brie Bella will continue being a contender somewhere down the line, but I think AJ's got a little bit longer to be having this title on her.
Do you think that they might end up going with Nikki Bella as champion down the
Oh,
line?
God, no.
Who could you guys see being the next champion after AJ Lee?
Nobody.
Yeah, there's not really a stacked roster at the moment. In terms of the Divas division, they're showing that they don't care about it because they haven't brought anybody up to kind of compete.
The only
No.
acceptable person they could do is if they bring back in Karma. After like a nice long reign of prissy little princess AJ holding that title, just have Karma come in and absolutely wreck her.
That'd be good.
It would make it interesting, I think. And we could even have AJ dodge Karma in a sense. She's going after her and AJ's legging outside the ring. Or she does things in her matches to cost Karma the championship, and then we finally get her in a situation where she can't run and Karma demolishes her. I wouldn't mind that at all.
I'd be all for that. We'll have to see what happens, and hopefully something interesting like that does end up popping up instead of just Brie Bella wins and we get her facing off against Oksana for the next God knows how many months. But that'll lead us into part 7, World Heavyweight Championship, John Cena and Alberto Del Rio. John Cena returns and he immediately gets a shot at Alberto Del Rio's World Heavyweight Championship because of the bitter rivalry that they had before John Cena came down with an injury, right? Nah.
Yeah, of course. It was badass. I remember when those two feuded in that feud that they feuded in.
But you know what? Who cares? It's John Cena. They can give him a title shot at any point. It doesn't really matter. There's no need to justify it. He's John Cena. That's like, if anybody would really give a shit if like Shawn Michaels decided to come back out of retirement and they gave him a world title shot, it wouldn't be like, well, you're at the back of the line. Oh, the hell with it. Just give him a fucking title shot.
Yeah, he's at the back of the line. Someone like Big E should be next.
Right. R-Truth needs his shot. Come on.
Yeah, what about little Jimmy, huh?
Yeah. It's been a long time since Justin Gabriel got his world heavyweight title shot.
Damn straight.
Hopefully John Cena wins here, and that's not just because I hate Del Rio's title reign or Del Rio himself, but god damn it, they need something different. And even though John Cena as a champion isn't necessarily different, and the last time we saw him, he was just dropping a championship, it's still different enough that I'm 150% behind John Cena here, and I hope it's a short match. Because I don't think that these two really work that well together. Thankfully, it's not in a Hell in a Cell, because that would just cheapen it even more. But I think it'll be a huge focal point of the pay-per-view, but not a very good match. And very standard kind of affair. Real simple, not really much going on with it. Hopefully, John Cena comes out with the championship. And hopefully, at Survivor Series, we don't see a rematch between these two. Move on, somebody else, whether it's Damian Sandow cashes in, or maybe somebody else starts a feud with John Cena, God knows who, but as long as it's not Del Rio, I'll be fine with it. Peyton?
I'm going to see Del Rio retaining, but through some kind of double disqualification or a disqualification of some type. Whoever John Cena's true next opponent is will come out and attack him during this match, and that will have Del Rio retain in the end.
Who do you think that might be?
Kevin Nash. No, I have no idea. Rey Mysterio?
Mysterio?
I don't know. I don't care.
What do you think, Brian?
For me, if John Cena wins, that would bring back the World Heavyweight Championship to prominence, in my opinion. It would put it up there in the same level as the WWE Championship. If he doesn't, and he ends up getting the win costed because of one reason or another, it would be interesting. And the thing is, I've got a funny feeling that this is going to spill over to the current storyline with Daniel Bryan and the Helmsley Factionado. So, again, let's see how it goes. In my opinion, I would love to see Cena win it, but I think it's more logical that what Payton's actually suggested happens, where Cena ends up losing the match for one reason or another.
Then what do you guys think about these potential potential rumors or whatever that if we do get John Cena against Triple H in some capacity at WrestleMania, that the title could be involved. Or better yet, or worse yet, if you depending on your mileage, that we might see Triple H in a title unification match with John Cena. I really don't think that there's much to it, and I really hope that there isn't, because if you're going to give me a title unification match, do not give me Triple H and John Cena.
I hope they never have a unification match, and as I've always said this before, there needs to be two world champions. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but guys like Del Rio won't be a WWE championship contender at all. You know, a guy like Christian wouldn't hold it either. The World Heavyweight Championship needs to be there for these guys, and I would rather see that happening than a unification match. And as far as Triple H goes, I really wouldn't want to see him be anywhere near the title at all.
Pin?
No. Not everybody should be world champion. Right? Del Rio should not be a world championship contender. And if he is, it should be very short term, maybe only get one little reign, as he did with the WWE title. Even with two titles, he still got time with the WWE title. Two times, I think, in fact. There's no need to have two of them. And if that's the route they want to go, I am perfectly okay with John Cena taking the belt at this point. But if it's for any other reason, why have John Cena with that title? Then you're just limiting the amount of stories you can have, because you can. As much as I don't like Del Rio, as much as I would love to see John Cena beat him too, it's better to have it separate. You can have something that John Cena is doing. You can have something that the WWE champion's doing. You can have something that the World Heavyweight Champion is doing. You have your three separate things going without these guys, rather than intermingling them.
Alrighty, we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully, whatever they decide to do, title change or not, either Del Rio stays a champ and becomes interesting, or Cena becomes a champ and Del Rio leaves for quite a while. Triple threat for the tag team championship. The Usos and The Shield try to take it off Goldust and Cody Rhodes. And I think that it's pretty standard here to say Cody Rhodes and Goldust aren't dropping the title. They're keeping these until at least the Royal Rumble, before they can build up to some kind of a match between the two. And match quality-wise, I'm actually kind of expecting this to be potentially the match of the night, even surpassing Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. It all depends on how much time that they give these guys and if they overbook it in some kind of way. Because one thing I think is a little bit weird is this is the second pay-per-view that Dean Ambrose doesn't have a match. And I don't think that they're going to throw a match on there for him, unless Big Show is involved, but I doubt that. So I don't know if they're going to do some kind of weird thing with Dean Ambrose or what, but I'm expecting it to be a pretty damn good match. And I think the inclusion of the Usos in here is, there's a lot of kudos to WWE for remembering that they gave them that title shot and not just ignoring it, but incorporating in the tag team into here. So you can spice it up a little bit. If we would have just had The Shield against Cody Rhodes and Goldust again, which we had seen on, I think it was Raw, might have been SmackDown. And then, of course, we had that match with them on the pay-per-view before. Wouldn't have too much to it, but the Usos involved, that brings something different to the table. Brian, who's winning?
I'm going with The Shield. Reason being, I don't see this lasting long in terms of the Rhodes and in terms of them holding the titles. I think it was something just to give them that win. For more than anything, if they do win this match, I could see Triple H messing with it and literally taking the titles away from these guys like he's done before. In terms of the match itself, I think it's going to be an okay one. We may see, like, Dustin turn on Cody. You know, if that happens, I'll be all for that. If that doesn't, then they're probably going to just drag it on until eventually he does turn on his brother.
Bid.
I would actually look for a retention from the Rhodes brothers. Usos, it's just not the right time for them just yet. I think them being in the match will make it significantly more exciting. But the Shield is there to lose once again to the Rhodes family. The Shield, I think, is on the outs at this point. I think they're going to be starting to get some dissension in their ranks, and sometime before the end of the year, I believe we will see the Shield dissipate.
Before the end of the WWE calendar year with WrestleMania, or before
Yes.
2 months from now?
The end of the calendar year is what I mean, but before the end of the season, so to speak.
Who do you think's turning face if they do that?
Probably Rollins.
Taking job out and tag team with Justin Gabriel.
I mean, they could do Reigns as well. I would do him a heel at first, but they could definitely make him a face down the line. Dean Ambrose has to stay heel. Absolutely.
Or he'll get that WWE babyface treatment where they just take all the character away from him and then go, "Why aren't people cheering him? I don't understand
They'll team him with the Miz.
it." It'll be a triple, the new trio: Dean Ambrose, The Miz, and Dolph Ziggler. Three people that once they turn babyface, nobody gives a shit,
And then
really.
they'll turn Del Rio face again, put him in with him too.
Right. Then in the meantime, they'll turn all these babyfaces that actually get like reactions, turn them into heels. It'll be heel Rey Mysterio and heel, God, who the hell else does other than
Heel
John Cena?
El Torito.
Yeah. Heel Torito. So we could look forward to heel El Torito and babyface Zeb Coulter, apparently.
They should have an opposite day in wrestling. Why don't they do that? Just like where
Yeah.
everyone just comes out and acts the completely opposite of how they normally do.
I'd be fine with it. What the hell? Lawler stops being a pervert. The referees actually like pay attention to the guy they match. Hornswoggle becomes like they put him on stilts. Kali
Dress
suddenly,
Kali up like him.
right? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll see it. They like to take ideas that we mention on Smack Talk and incorporate them 2 or 3 weeks later. So maybe we'll end up having that next week or something. Final match on the card, the main event of the night. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton square off in the Hell in a Cell itself for a vacated WWE title shot. Special guest referee is Shawn Michaels, best wrestler of all time. And he is going to end up being a key factor into this match. I'm not sure exactly how yet, though. There's a lot of different options that they could do with Shawn. I mean, they're trying to tease that Triple H is going to convince him to go with Randy Orton. They're trying to tease that he will end up backing Daniel Bryan and try to win the match for him or something. We could see a combination of the two. Maybe he tries to super kick Randy Orton and Orton ducks out of the way. He hits Daniel Bryan. 1, 2, 3. He's got to count the pin. Sort of like a SummerSlam 90, what was it, 97?
Sure, yes.
Think that's what it was with the
Yeah,
chair
it's
shot.
Undertaker and Bret Hart.
We could see that happen. We could see Shawn Michaels get taken out and another referee take his place and somehow incorporate that into maybe like a team Shawn Michaels against Team Triple H or something at Survivor Series. Or maybe he just goes away, I don't know. Maybe we just see him have a straight up match and nothing happens. Or maybe the fucking pay-per-view gets the technical difficulties and everything goes to shit. I don't know. That's what happens when it comes to Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. You never know what you're gonna get. So I'm gonna say without a doubt though, Randy Orton is walking away with the title here. And it's not just because he needs the win from losing before, and Daniel Bryan doesn't need the win because he's won several times in the past. But if they give it to Daniel Bryan, where else do they go from here? They've got months until WrestleMania. They can't just have him continually fight Randy Orton or, God forbid, get stripped of the title again on top of this. And I can't think of anybody else that's a top-notch heel that could challenge Daniel Bryan. But there are a couple options for baby faces that can face Randy Orton. First of which that I would think of is Big Show. So Randy Orton is going to walk away with the title. Big Show is going to face him at Survivor Series, I think. Peyton, what do you think?
I really don't know. I really don't know. And you could normally that would be a good thing, but at this point, I don't think it is a good thing. It's at a point where I don't care. And I should care, because Randy Orton is an excellent wrestler. I think he's just been tuned out over the years. Now they're really trying to light a new fire with him, but it's not working for me. Daniel Bryan is a guy I've always liked, and he's finally in that main event slot, but this whole situation just does not have me invested. And I couldn't honestly put my finger on it. I'm not excited about the idea of Daniel Bryan winning the belt for a third time. I'm not excited about Randy Orton winning the belt again for Daniel Bryan just to chase him for longer. None of these avenues make me look forward to watching it anymore. It actually kind of hurts. No, not really. But where I think your theory is the best way to look at it is who are they going to have challenge for it afterwards? Daniel Bryan, there isn't many people you could put in there afterwards. Randy Orton has not a lot, but a few. I mean, I guess if you really want to just have filler people, you could even throw in someone like a Kofi Kingston or a Biggie Langston, even if they really want to rush him through and just have him in a filler month like TLC or Royal Rumble. I don't know. That's the only thing I can see with it. I really don't care who wins this match, and I hope whoever wins it that they move on and come up with something more unique to do with this corporate storyline, because Daniel Bryan is not Stone Cold.
What are you talking about? He looks exactly the same. Bryan?
The thing is, I think if they went that route, it probably would have made things a lot better, because Bryan as a whole... I have to agree, Peyton, I'm not invested in the storyline whatsoever, and it's because after the second and third time they've kept throwing a swerve into the match, and there's been no clear-cut heel and face in this. It just doesn't really work. Well, there's clear-cut faces, but there's never been a clear-cut heel. It's like 1 minute they're for Randy Orton, and another minute they're like, oh, you know, you've got to earn your stripes. And with Bryan, 1 minute they're against him, another minute they're like, oh, we'll be fair to Bryan. Even though we don't like him and he's a midget, we'll be fair. A lot of it doesn't make sense. And in order for them to make sense out of this situation, they need to start investing in their characters. They've got to start investing in the matches. Hell, I would have been more happier at Battleground if they decided to just do a tournament. The whole pay-per-view was centered around a tournament for the WWE Championship. That would have been more interesting for me. It would have made more sense than them to do match after match after match after match with these two in situations where neither man is the victor. It doesn't make sense. Am I looking forward to this match? No. Can this match, you know, be more than it is? Yes. Because it will have the opportunity for these guys to showcase that they really are as great as they're supposed to be. So, for me, I'm going to hold hope and say Bryan.
So, I'm going Orton. You're going Bryan. Peyton, who did you say?
Orton.
So, 2 for Orton, 1 for Bryan. And that'll wrap us up for Hell in a Cell. Remember, guys, you can check out the live coverage of the pay-per-view during the pay-per-view on smartcoutmoment.com, and you can chat alongside with us during the event. Whether or not the technical difficulties happen, you can still talk to us there, because hopefully the Comcast internet doesn't go out at the same time. But if it's anywhere as bad as Battleground, then we wouldn't be missing a thing. Hopefully this will be a lot better, though. And I think that it overall will be. I think this could end up being a pretty decent pay-per-view. Maybe not pay-per-view of the year, but it'll be a step up from both Bound for Glory and Battleground. So the only thing we have to talk about now, we have to just run down some plugs. First plug, as always, the Sign Me Up initiative. Bring a Smart Out Moment sign to any kind of wrestling event. Send me a picture or a video of it, and I will put it up on the next episode of Smack Talk, as well as on SmarkOutMoment.com itself. Remember, everybody, that November 15th, we have the next live edition of Smack Talk. So send in all your questions ahead of time that we can get to, and make sure that you can call in live, 10 p.m. Eastern. And I'm going to switch this over to Burhan.
As always, guys, www.nerdgenius.com, fanboysanonymous.com. You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/TheNerdGenius. I'm getting a hell of a lot of subscribers coming in this month. Very happy about that, guys. Got loads of new material coming along. I've just done the Xbox One tour as part of I Got Gameplay and Fanboys Anonymous article, and that coming soon. Well, hopefully by the end of the week. Also have an article coming up on the IP Expo, as I went to there for on behalf of Fanboys as well. And a theatre review coming up. And, of course, my Wrestle Ramblings on the importance of a clear-cut heel and face in the industries. Check out all those articles, guys, because I'm currently writing for SmartCatMoment.com, Nerd Genius, and also Fanboys. And, as always, I've got gameplay tomorrow night, 8 p.m. We are doing sports games. So if you like sports games, if you are into everything that is sports, if you want to know more about sports, check out I Got Gameplay. And as always, thank you to everybody for supporting us.
Pin?
All right, I am the president of operations over at Mega Powers Radio. We got cool shows on almost every single night of the week. You should check that out at megapowersradio.com. Two most important ones you should know about, though, is every Monday night following the conclusion of Monday Night Raw, we have our Raw post show, where a bunch of personalities, including myself and the rest of the gentlemen here, will gather together and give you our immediate thoughts about that night's Monday Night Raw. And you can also call in, because we have a number where you can join us and give us your thoughts about the show and ask us questions and just have some general conversation with each other. It's a lot of fun. Also, join us Thursday nights at 9 p.m. That's head-to-head with TNA Impact for Keeping Kayfabe Live, more of a nostalgic wrestling show. We could pick a match from wrestling's past, and we go in-depth talking about the build in it, all the wrestlers involved. We talk about all the parts of the match. It's a lot of fun. So if you're more of a nostalgic-based fan, go to keepingkayfabe.com for more information on that. And as a matter of fact, I am currently recruiting hosts for both shows. So if you're someone who ever thought about getting involved with this podcasting radio thing that you hear us always doing, hey, there's an open opportunity right now. Go to keepingkayfabe.com, click on the Now Recruiting button at the top of the bar there, and you can fill out a small application there. You could read all the information I got there as well, but feel free to ask any questions if you're not sure. And hey, you may be the next voice that people hear on various shows, like this one, the Raw Post Show, Keeping Kayfabe, and anything else we had developing down the line. Also, I want to take one more thing to tell everyone about the new Facebook group we have that's going to be covering all three of those shows. If you're a fan of any of them, you can now join this, where you could talk to us hosts and each other about whatever is going on in the world of wrestling. You can join that group by going to facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. That's right. It's called The Mega Maniacs. So once again, that's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. Join in, join us, and we're going to be having lots of fun over there.
One other thing that we should mention, before Hell in a Cell, we will be doing a pre-show where you can call in and talk to us about your thoughts on the pay-per-view right beforehand. We start that at, I believe it's 6 p.m. Eastern?
6 p.m. bell time, yes, that is correct.
So you make sure that you guys call in for that same operation as we usually do with the Raw post show. And, you know, if anything changes with our predictions that we didn't touch upon tonight, then we'll run that down there. And then, of course, next week we will review Hell in a Cell and talk about anything else that happened on that next week in wrestling. But for now, this has been another Smart Out moment, and we're being counted out. Adios, everybody.
This is Outro Blues and the number 9. I'm rocking around with my big Cadillac. It's the Outro Man. It's the Outro Man. It's the Outro Man, and I wanna end it with you. Hell, it was like Bound for Glory, and I couldn't give a shit. Everything seemed like twisted shit. It's the Outro Man. It's the Outro Man. It's the Outro Man, and I'm going to fucking sleep.
Woo! Okay, rhymed shit with shit.